evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, October 5th, 2020. Some Sudanese in Darfur reject the comprehensive peace agreement signed in Juba.
We as IDPs and refugees, women representatives, assure the public that we are not part of this half-peace. We believe that this peace agreement doesn't address the root causes of the IDPs and refugees.
And thousands of residents of Juba ignore COVID-19 guidelines over the weekend.
There are some diseases that people can spread to others once they are infected. That is why it is important for you to protect yourself by wearing a face mask and washing your hands with water and soap.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some Sudanese nationals who attended the signing of the comprehensive peace agreement between the Sudanese transitional government and various rebel groups over the weekend say the agreement marks a new beginning for the people of Darfur, southern Kordofan, and Blue Nile states. The head of the Sudanese Sovereign Council says the peace agreement has changed Sudan into what he calls an inclusive country that ensures equality and freedom for all. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Mutesim Adam, who yields from Sudan's Blue Nile State and attended Saturday's signing ceremony, marks a turning point in the history of Sudan, especially for internally displaced persons who he says have been suffering for years without access to education or health care. Adam says the deal will change everything in Sudan, particularly for the marginalized regions of South Kordofan, Darfur, and Blue Nile regions. He says it also paved the way for donors to begin injecting money into Sudan's economy.
Peace will make everything good and environment for the IDPs, for the refugees in neighboring countries to return back home. When they return back home, they can start production, and that will improve our economy. Also, peace will improve our relation with the foreign countries. As you may know, Sudan is listed under the blacklist of the countries that support terrorism. So by lifting the terrorist Sudan from the terrorist countries, we can start receiving support, especially financial support.
Maura Ibrahim, another Sudanese citizen who attended the event, praised President Salva Kiir, who mediated the talks and took the initiative to end the lengthy conflict in South Kordofan, Darfur, and the Blue Nile states. Ibrahim says she expects the peace deal will not only restore justice but bring economic development to Sudan.
I hope this agreement will end the suffering of the people, and I also hope it will change what the people of Sudan went through in the past years. I expect that this agreement signed has solved the causes of the conflicts in the regions and also a resolution for all the conflicts. I think it is time for the people of Sudan to take the responsibility and make sure that this peace agreement is being implemented by all the signatories.
Sudanese citizen Hassan Al-Fodul, who also attended the signing ceremony in Juba, says the event marked an historic day for the people of southern Kordofan, Darfur, and the Blue Nile state. Al-Fodul hailed the South Sudanese peace mediators who contributed to the peace process, which culminated in the signing ceremony. He called on armed groups to respect the peace deal.
This is a great achievement, and we must respect and cooperate for its successful implementation. We should work hard until Sudan gets complete independence as well as development.
Addressing the crowd on Saturday, General Abdul Fattah al-Burhan, the head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, said many people of Sudan lost their loved ones, including children and parents, in order to have lasting peace in their country. Al-Burhan says peace is the only solution to Sudan's problems, including its economic woes. He vowed the transitional government will deliver justice, freedom, and democracy to all Sudanese people.
I want also to assure you of our determination of all aspects of the agreement. That includes the power sharing, national issues, political issues, and security arrangement. The transitional government has no doubt that this peace agreement would be an achievement or a success in Sudan.
Al-Burhan urged two armed groups who have not signed the deal to join other rebel groups in reaching a comprehensive peace agreement with the government. The two holdout groups, the Sudan Liberation Movement faction led by Abdul Wahid Muhammad Al-Nur and a faction of Sudan People Liberation Movement North led by Abdelaziz Al-Hilu, did not sign the agreement but have agreed to continue negotiating with the government. The signed agreement includes protocols for security, land ownership, transitional justice, power sharing, and the peaceful return of refugees. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still on the Sudanese agreement, despite the threat of COVID-19, majority of thousands of people who gathered at the John Garang Mausoleum to celebrate the signing of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement did not observe COVID-19 preventive measures. One resident of Juba who turned up for the event says she forgot about the pandemic due to the celebratory mood and feeling of peace at the ceremony. Some guests, including top government officials, shook hands and did not observe social distancing. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
A majority of the people who attended the peace celebration did not wear face masks or stand at least 1 meter apart per social distancing guidelines. Some people were seen shaking hands and hugging their friends and relatives at the event. Tahariel Chaplin, one of many Juba residents who attended the peace celebration, says when there is peace, he is not afraid of hunger or a pandemic.
When there's peace, even if you don't have something to eat, you feel happy. That's why I said, what Sudan is doing will be the same to us here in South Sudan. If there's peace, even if corona is there, God's will. Even I'm not scared of anything, just I feel joy of this day of today.
Mary Ayen, a young South Sudanese woman who was not wearing a face mask, says she was not thinking about COVID-19 at the event.
I am so happy today to the extent that I forgot about the coronavirus and I don't know if the virus is still there or not.
But Musa Ibrahim, a Sudanese national who did wear a face mask, washed his hands before attending the event and sanitized at the entrance, says although people think there is no coronavirus in South Sudan, they should be protecting themselves and their loved ones by wearing face masks every time they go outside.
There are some diseases that people can spread to others once they are infected. That is why it is important for you to protect yourself by wearing a face mask and washing your hands with water and soap.
Dr. Tho Loy, spokesperson at South Sudan's Health Ministry, says health workers provided some face masks, took temperature readings and sanitized people before they entered the John Garang Mausoleum, but admits most people did not observe social distancing guidelines.
It will be difficult, of course, in this celebration, as you have seen, to adhere to social distancing. But with the wearing masks and hand hygiene and the fact that we screen them for temperature, will at least reduce chances of transmission of the virus.
Dr. Loy says although health officials are reporting fewer cases of COVID-19 in South Sudan, people should continue observing preventive measures because the virus is still spreading in neighboring countries.
Like in Uganda, for example, which is next door, and Uganda is our important neighbors. In fact, we share so many things in common. We have communities that are in common between Uganda and South Sudan, and we have a daily cross-movement between South Sudan and Uganda, and it's important on that note that we also continue to improve our measures against COVID-19.
South Sudan has confirmed 2,660 total cases and 1,438 recoveries. The number of reported deaths attributed to COVID-19 has remained at 49 for several weeks. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Hundreds of residents of Al Jineno town in Sudan's West Darfur held a demonstration today rejecting the Sudan Comprehensive Peace Agreement signed between the Sudanese Transitional Government and armed groups in Juba over the weekend. The demonstrators argued that the peace deal signed in Juba is incomplete and does not address the root causes of conflict in Darfur. They also say the agreement does not address the concerns of refugees and internal displaced persons. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Hundreds of internally displaced persons from Hujaj, Abazar, Krindang 1 and 2 and other camps in West Darfur stayed, chant "No, no for Juba peace" in a peaceful demonstration on Saturday, the day the peace deal was signed in Juba. Addressing the demonstrators in Hujaj IDP camp in Al Janina town Saturday, Mariam Adam Hussein, a representative of the IDPs, says the Juba peace deal does not address the root causes of the problems facing IDPs and refugees. Adam calls the agreement a half-peace deal.
We as IDPs and refugees, women representatives, assure the public that we are not part of this half peace. We believe that this peace agreement doesn't address the root causes of the IDPs and refugees. We did not nominate anyone from here to go and represent us in the Juba talk.
Adam says women are still being targeted outside the camp as they go to their farms or collect firewood. Since 2003, she says, more than 300,000 women and girls have been raped and sexually assaulted, and yet no one has been prosecuted for such crimes. Muhammad Azain, another refugee from Abazar IDP's camp, says the deal is likely to collapse because more groups in Darfur, South Kordofan, and other parts of Sudan are still holding their guns, and the exclusion of refugees in any peace process in Darfur will not bring lasting peace in Sudan.
The Darfuri problem cannot be solved by excluding our people, who have been enduring suffering for more than 17 years. Thousands of women and children are still suffering in refugee camps.
Mansour Arbab Yunis, chairman of the Justice and Equality Movement, one of the holdout groups, says the Juba peace deal was dictated by few groups who wanted to win positions in the government. Speaking via WhatsApp from Kampala, Uganda, Yunis accuses elements of the previous regime of being part of the political game being played out.
The Juba Peace Forum was illegitimate, and a few groups decided to exclude others and give themselves the legitimate power to engage in absurd negotiations, which lasted one full year, and they could not bring any fruitful and sustainable peace to Sudan. Some of them decided to engage former ministers of the previous regime from the West Darfur state, claiming that they represent refugees and IDPs.
Yunis says if such an agreement is implemented, leaving others outside of the peace process, it could trigger another civil war. He called on Sudan's transitional government to quickly engage holdout groups in what he calls a serious talks to achieve lasting peace in the country.
This agreement could establish a new civil war in Sudan, and all the parties to the agreement, including the mediation team, should be blamed for excluding others. We are hereby putting the first responsibility of the expected civil war on the transitional government, because they have signed this document. They cheated the Sudanese people and celebrated their peace alone.
The holdout groups include the SPLM North, led by General Abdulaziz Adam Al-Hilu, Sudan Liberation Movement of Abdul Wahid Muhammad Nur, and the New Justice and Equality Faction of Mansour Arbab Yunis. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, what is the fate of teachers in Africa on this International Teachers? Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
who do you listen to in difficult times and why?
Mostly, I listen to my wife and my dad, because these two people, they know me better than anybody.
I listen most to my mom because she's been through a lot. She has a lot of experience. Anytime I tell her something, she kind of has a solution to the problem.
The person to listen to in difficult times: one, your parents.
two, if you're married, then it should be your partner, because your partner is the person who is there with you every time.
In difficult times, I most of the time listen to my fiancé. When I speak to him, he gives me good advice that helps to calm me down.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linar Mudu. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
VOA always delivers your favorite programs, news, music, entertainment, and sports shows. Starting Monday, October 5th, our flagship news show, South Sudan in Focus, will be moving to 16:30 UTC, followed by your favorite sports show, The Sunny Side of Sports, at 1700 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. The Philippines has less than 1% of reported coronavirus cases, with 319,330 currently. That is according to data from Johns Hopkins University. Social distancing guidelines, however, remain in effect in that country. For VOA, Arish Arabsadi has this story.
Sunday in Manila, drivers lined up to take part in the annual observance of World Animal Day. A Catholic priest wearing a mask blessed pets in the capital city as the animals and their owners stayed in their vehicles.
It's very important for us then to have our pet blessed, because we feel like our pet talaga is really part of our family. And of course, we really want the best for his health too. And so yun, that's why we decided to join the pet blessing for today.
The priest sprinkled holy water on pets in this drive-through religious ceremony. It was all part of a celebration dating back almost a century with a stated goal to improve animal welfare around the world. Fears of coronavirus contagion, however, changed the ceremony's blueprint. Event organizer, Richie Pasquale.
But this time around, as mentioned, we have to adapt to the new normal. And the pandemic should never stop us from paying tribute to the furry animals that we have.
Animal activist Heinrich Zimmermann organized the first World Animal Day, held in Berlin in 1925. In 1929, the official date changed to October 4th, a day Catholics celebrate the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of animals. Arash Arabsadi, VOA News, Washington.
Zimbabwe's National Teachers Union has rejected an appeal from the government to return to school. Manuel Nyawo, chief executive officer of the union, says the teachers are not motivated to return to work because they don't have the capacity. The Zimbabwe government announced last month that it had allocated $600 million for schools to improve sanitation in preparation for reopening. However, Nyawo says the government must pay the teachers' salary on par with civil servants, including payments of their COVID-19 allowances of $150, which was promised but never paid.
I can tell you that no teacher is motivated to return to the classroom in response to the call from the Minister of Public Service, Professor Mavima. Apparently, and precisely because the issues that we have since presented to the employer have not been addressed. We just received a paltry cushion of not more than 1,500 Zimbabwean dollars, and that money is a drop in an ocean. We are saying we are heavily incapacitated. We have failed to send our own children to schools. The children are still with us, and the boarding schools are charging up to 40,000 RTGS. When a teacher is getting not more than 4,000 RTGS.
Help me to understand the salaries you want. Are these new salaries, or what are you demanding?
we are demanding salary increase, because apparently the disparity that is there between ourselves as teachers and what our counterparts in the nursing fraternity, the disparities are glaring, and we cannot accept that. How do you see a situation where there's a difference of more than 9,000 or so, yet we hold much more qualifications than those other counterparts that you are talking about? You know, a salary that cannot allow us to send our own children to school is no salary at all.
You said you want for the government to address your health issues in relation to COVID-19. The government has made available certain provisions in this for the schools, like face masks, hand sanitizers. What else do you want the government to make available with relation to COVID-19?
Thank you very much for that very good question. But apparently, I want you to know that more than 70% of the schools that you are talking about do not have the PPEs, the face masks, and everything else that you are talking about. And it's unfortunate that the schools themselves are the ones who are also complaining through their headmasters, who are coming to us to say, we still do not have this and that. And therefore, to say that these schools are well equipped to accept or to provide for the school standards is not correct, it's not true. What we are saying then is that we cannot then allow our teachers to get into schools when the situation does not allow them to get into those schools.
That's Manuel Nyawo, Chief Executive Officer of the Zimbabwe National Teachers Union. He was speaking with us from the capital, Harare. A UN human rights investigator is expressing regrets about possible regression by Somali authorities from their adherence to international human rights law. These concerns are amplified in a report submitted to the UN Human Rights Council by the UN's independent expert on the situation of human rights in Somalia. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Isha Difan was appointed independent expert on Somalia in March during the COVID-19 pandemic, keeping her from going there. Though she says information gathered remotely from numerous sources strongly indicates Somali authorities are regressing on commitments to protect people's economic, social, and cultural rights. She acknowledges the country's armed conflict and humanitarian crises have been worsened by the pandemic and a locust infestation.
There have been reports of attacks against healthcare and aid workers, excessive use of force by law enforcement agencies resulting in the death of civilians, violations of the right to freedom of expression and opinion, and an increase in sexual and gender-based violence and forced evictions during the pandemic.
Difan says she's particularly troubled by long-standing and deeply rooted patterns of prejudice, discrimination, and violence aimed daily at women and girls.
I have continued to hear of incidents of rape and other forms of sexual violence against women, girls, and boys occurring for the most part with impunity, forcing victims and their families to turn to other avenues which seem to provide a semblance of justice, but in reality continue to fuel violence.
Somali ambassador to Switzerland and Austria, Abiyan Mohamed Saleh, says her government does not believe it is possible to achieve peace and security without the preservation of human rights. She says Somalia has adopted a human rights-based approach and established institutions to end impunity and violent conflict and to ensure people's rights and freedoms. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Many Sudanese citizens who attended the peace signing ceremony on Saturday in Juba between the Sudan government and armed rebel groups say it marks a new beginning for the marginalized people of South Kordofan, Darfur, and Blue Nile State. Blue Nile State resident Mutazim Adam says it's especially important for internally displaced persons who he says have been suffering for years without access to education or health care. Adam says the deal will make everything a good environment for IDPs and refugees in neighboring countries and could lead to removing Sudan from the U.S. list of states that sponsor terrorism. Sudanese Moura Ibrahim praised President Kiir, who mediated the talks and moved to end the conflicts in South Kordofan, Darfur, and Blue Nile. While many Sudanese praised the deal, others were less pleased. Hundreds of Sudanese citizens in the western region of Darfur staged a peaceful protest against the deal at camps in West Darfur State on the weekend. They argue that the deal is incomplete and does not address the root causes of the conflict in Darfur. Maryam Adam Hussein, a representative of the IDPs in El Janina town, says the Juba deal doesn't address the root causes of the problems facing IDPs, and calls it a half-peace deal. Adam says women are still being targeted when they venture outside camps to work on farms or collect firewood. And finally, thousands of people who gathered at the Jonkering Mausoleum to celebrate the Sudan peace deal did not wear face masks or observe COVID-19 social distancing guidelines. One Juba resident said he forgot about the pandemic due to the celebratory mood in the town and the overall feeling of peace. Some people were even seen shaking hands and hugging their friends and relatives at the event. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now leave you with the song Lomeri by Suka Sukari.
Yeah. Suke Sukari in another style. Bakana bangari yeta. Palomera na suru koto. Anangalangalangalangala. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, we go.
Mara tika kolo kiba. Lokodo bido simuti do apine marate pure adingo na doro lumiguru simune amoka ngoma lo ngoma neken
na tolo meran
kilo komi diji kasara kire kina dolo e maini di do tu tetenda ngodo je tuan na tu korono tu kani kisulo topo ni kolum tuara chika kolu kiba in kodo mutu logo long bang male wati kolu bang kodo mutu logo long bang kule Tome tadi do di yong melene nu da yele Pokemon ako buko nu medeni Hey tomoro di do bagbe Domiji Fani Woti kulo mutu lo fani Woti nyarjo mutu lo ngoguru Woti mindi mutu lo ngomani Kodo bete koguru Hado pia ni di do detenan Nan lungu do angati Do lungu narangati Ame dene na domoni Ado kiru nyelo nyarani Badi dingina tolo meranu Do meta di do bakuli Mara chika kolu kiriba In kodo mutu logo lombak male Wati kurupan Kodo mutu logo lombak uwe Shanto meta di do diyong medene nuda yele Pokimang ako bukunu medeni Hey tomoro di do bakbe Domiji Luma serio sa senyo pendo deli ako bomali jina kakulo ako gure kana Nuko juyungi aku apilili ukoji Dolo malu yiteji apilili baguru Bantukan bakadi angun Bakinyo kitengkine pangojik Hidokuru nikumu ngara kinda doko Orija doko maliko bojiriku
We've been listening to Suka Sukari with the song Lumeri. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you must leave your house. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
mara chika kolu kiri ba in kodo mutu longo long bang male wati kodu pan kodo mutu longo long bang kue shanto me tadi do di yong medene no da yodo koki mang ako buko nu medene hey tomoro di do pakbe domiji